Chapter 4. Jesse was still at his desk when Molly Crane burst into his office as if sparks should have been shooting off her, like a car riding on rims.
"My friends are dumber than housewives shows," she said, plopping herself down in one of the chairs across from him.
"You watch those shows?" Jesse said.
"Just enough to know that my friends are wicked dumber than them," Molly said.
"All of them?" Jesse said, "or one in particular?"
"One," she said. "Annie, who was nearly raped last night after I left her at the scupper."
"Tell me," Jesse said. The scupper was in a section of Paradise known as the Swap, and was as close to a dive as any bar in town. Jesse had never had anything against dive bars. He'd always thought they were more real than modern places where the beer list was longer than a police manual. Jesse had just never understood the appeal of this one, even for kids just looking to get a load on. He thought you went to the scupper only if the Gray Gull was too crowded, or if you were just too overserved to give a shit.
"You, Deputy Chief Molly Crane, went to the scupper?" Jesse said. "And not at gunpoint?" "You want to hear about this or not?" Molly said.
"You know I do," Jesse said. "Did the attempted rape happen in the Swap?"
"In the park," she said. "You know that little wooded area?"
Jesse told her he did. "Guess there were a lot of fireworks last night," Jesse said.
"You mean the body at the lake?" Molly said.
Jesse nodded.
Molly said, "Let me finish telling you mine. Then you tell me yours, okay?"
Molly and Annie had walked down to the scupper after the fireworks, but it had gotten too loud and too crowded. Molly finally left and ran into Suit and Elena on the street. They gave her a ride home. Annie wanted to stay. Her husband was out of town. Their kids were at camp.
"Told me she wanted to kick up her heels a little," Molly said.
"She actually said that?" Jesse said.
"She's a tiny bit older than she looks," Molly said.
"She looks like your older sister to me." Molly finally managed a smile.
"How much older?" she said.
"When did you find out what happened?"
"She woke me up a little while ago," Molly said. "She still sounded half drunk."
"Know the feeling," Jesse said. "She fool around, by the way, when her husband isn't around and the kids are at camp?"
"That's the thing," Molly said. "Not that I've ever known, though that doesn't mean she doesn't."
Annie told Molly that she kept drinking like the world was about to end after Molly left her. Had some laughs, chatting up some young guy who showed her the motorcycle he had parked out front, declined a ride home on it after watching him come back inside and match her drink for drink. She staggered out of there, finally, alone. Can't remember what time. Streets were still filled with people. A guy started walking with her on the street. Big beard, she remembers that. Told her it was too early to go home. They needed to get to this party.
What party? Annie wanted to know.
The guy said, "The one in the park for just the two of them." She still wanted to kick up her heels, Jesse said.
"Or get them all the way up in the air," Molly said.
"Hey, we both know that can happen to the best of them," Jesse said, grinning at her. They both knew what he meant. The one time in her marriage she had been unfaithful to her husband.
"We're talking about Annie here," Molly said. "Focus."
"Been meaning to ask," Jesse said. "You ever hear from your old friend, Crow?" She gave him a look as if she might go outside and key his car.
"Are you going to let me tell this or not?"
"Sorry."
"So, they end up at the park, just the two of them. On the swings first. Turns out he's got a flask with him. She drinks. He drinks. They start making out. And then, bullshit, 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 as you like to say, and he's pulling her into the trees on the lakeside, and he's on top of her, as drunk as she was, and whatever she thought she wanted, she didn't want that. She tried to scream, but he had a hand over her mouth. At that point, she just thought she'd have to let it happen. He was too big, and she was too drunk."
"Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit," Jesse said.
"Exactly."
"But you say it didn't happen."
"All of a sudden, they hear a gunshot," she says. "And it sounds pretty close," Molly said.
"Not fireworks?" Molly shook her head.
"I asked her. She said even she could tell the difference. So, unless somebody else fired a gun last night, it was the gunshot from the lake. Anyway, Molly said, the guy just says, fuck it, bitch. I didn't really want you anyway, and just leaves her there.
Virtue intact.
Barely, Molly said.
Would she remember the guy if she saw him again?
She says no. Said he was wearing some kind of trucker hat, pulled down low over his eyes.
You should tell her to come in, Jesse said.
That's the thing. She won't, Molly said. I already asked her that, too. She's embarrassed that she was even in that situation. She doesn't want Mitch to find out. Said she was telling me as her friend, not a cop.
She still ought to come in, Jesse said. I don't want somebody like the trucker hat asshole running loose in our town.
I told her I wouldn't tell, Molly said. But I never count you when I say I won't tell anybody. You, I tell everything, even when I wish I wouldn't. Starting with my night with Crow, she shook her head disgusted, to my everlasting regret.
At least you made your own choices with Crow, Jesse said.
I'm not blaming the victim here, I'm really not, Molly said. But she ought to want the guy caught same as us.
Give her some time, Jesse said. Then make another run at her. He noticed his coffee cup was empty. He'd forgotten to make more.
Want coffee? He said.
Not if I have to make it.
I forget sometimes. You're deputy chief, he said.
Molly grinned.
Fucking A, she said.
He walked across the room and filled a paper filter with Dunkin' coffee and filled the machine with water. While they both waited for the coffee to brew, Molly took a donut out of the box in front of Jesse. She complained constantly about her weight, but never put on an extra pound as far as Jesse could tell. It was a Molly thing. By now, he thought that her talking about her hips should be the start of a drinking game. Just not for him.
A guy who acts out like that, Jesse said. He'll do it again. Just a matter of time and opportunity. Hate to think we got an ape like that wandering around town.
Along with a murderer, Molly said. You know who the Vic is yet?
Sort of, Jesse said, and told her.
Where's Suit? She asked.
Back at the lake, Jesse said. Probably making calls about car services from there. Peter and Gabe are canvassing the lake houses, all the way around to the other side. They talked about Paul not having a phone or wallet on him, and why the killer would have lifted them both.
You think it was a robbery gone bad? Molly said.
I'll make that one of the first things I ask him when I catch his ass, Jesse said.
At least Annie made it home from the park, Molly said.
I'm going to find out what happened to this guy, Jesse said.
You only talked to him for a couple of minutes, she said. That doesn't mean this has to be personal.
Feels that way.
It always does when it happens in your town, Molly said.
Yours too, Jesse said. His cell phone was on the desk in front of him. He heard it buzzing now. Picked it up and saw it was Suit again. The way his day had begun.
Got lucky, Suit said. Got nothing from Uber or Lyft. But the second cab company I called in Marshport told me one of their drivers picked your guy up a block from the church and drove him over here.
Good work, Jesse said.
Aw, shucks, Suit said.
How'd the guy pay?
Cash.
Where'd he get dropped? Jesse said. There was a pause at Suit's end of the phone, and then he said,
That's the interesting part.
Jesse waited.
Lily Kane's house, Suit said.